Please welcome nationally syndicated radio host and New York Times best-selling author, Dave Ramsey.
Well, welcome to a lesson that I almost hate teaching. I hate teaching it because it's a lesson, it's a subject that we all just love to hate. The lesson, open your workbooks to it, is called Clause and Effect, which is the role of insurance in your financial plan. Now, I got to tell you, the deal with insurance is this. Don't you hate paying insurance? Say yes.
Yes.
But what I have figured out is that insurance is a big umbrella like that to protect you. Some of the things we teach you allow you to end up with more than this. This lesson is going to help you keep more of this. And so this is an important lesson, but it's just one of those subjects that's technical, and we've got to cover the technical to keep you from getting ripped off. And I don't sell any of this stuff, and I'm not licensed in any of it. I used to have all the licenses, but I decided I didn't want anybody telling me what I could say. And so I just canceled all my licenses. Now I can say whatever I want, and they can all be mad. And I got to tell you, some of them are mad. No question about it. There's a lot of insurance people do not like this lesson. It has messed up a bunch of their lives because, well, when the consumer gets armed with information, the consumer makes different decisions. Now, I'm not against insurance. I'm just against bad insurance. You don't want to pay money that you shouldn't be paying. And when you're paying the money, you want to get the best deal for your money. Don't you say yes?
Yes.
All right. The basics of insurance are this. The purpose of insurance is to transfer risk. If you can't accept the risk without proper insurance, you know, you would be bankrupt. And so if you can't accept the risk, pay a few dollars to transfer the risk of a big event that you can't handle on your own to someone else. And those few dollars are called insurance premiums. And so when you pay those insurance premiums, you transfer the risk. You put an umbrella over your life. And over the hard work that you've done, and over the money that you've saved, and over the money you have to invest. There are seven basic kinds of coverage. There's lots of gimmicks and twists and turns out there. We're going to talk about a lot of those. But these are the major areas of insurance that we're going to kick around tonight and make sure you get a grasp on. Homeowners or renters insurance, auto insurance, health insurance, disability insurance, long-term care insurance, sometimes known as nursing home or in-home care insurance, identity theft protection, and of course, life insurance. Let's begin and look at homeowners for a second. With homeowners, if you have a full emergency fund, and your full emergency fund is baby step three, when you're fully funded with baby step three, how much do you have in your emergency fund?
3 to 6 months
of expenses. So I've got $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 or $25,000, whatever it is in your house, sitting there in cash, and I never use that money unless there is an
emergency.
See, now if you had $10,000 sitting there, could you run $1,000 deductible instead of a $250 deductible safely? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay, and so what you do to keep your premiums down, and you already knew this, is you raise your deductible. Now sometimes raising the deductible doesn't make sense mathematically. Because sometimes when you look at it, it's not worth it for transferring the risk. Let me give you an example. Let's kind of think through how to do the math on when raising a deductible makes sense. Now, if you've got a $250 deductible and you raise it to a $1,000 deductible on your homeowners or on your auto for that matter, then you are taking not a $250 risk anymore. Now you're taking a $1,000 risk, so you've increased your risk by $750, right? Say it,
$750.
So if I'm going to take $750 extra risk by going from $250 to $1,000, then I want to know, you know, how am I going to get paid back for that risk? Now, if my premiums go down by $75 a year as a result of taking on that risk, and I've taken on $750 more in risk, $750 divided by 75 is 10 years. I got to go 10 years without an event. Probably not going to happen. Maybe in homeowners, but it probably won't happen in cars, especially if you drive around the place I drive around. You know, so, you know, I'm not going to figure I'm going to go 10 years without a car getting bumped, right? But if instead of saving $75 a year, if I saved $750 a year, I'd only have to go 1 year without getting bumped, right? and after that, I'm in the gravy. You see how that's working? Well, that'd make a lot of sense to do that deal. The 10-year break-even is not a deal that you really want to take on. So when you're raising your deductible, calculate how much risk you're taking extra, how much that's saving. You divide it out and see how long it's going to be, how much what your break-even is on this, how long you got to go before that happens so that you make money on this. When it comes to homeowners insurance, always carry good liability coverage, auto insurance. This liability is the best buy in the insurance world. It's very inexpensive, and a lot of people trying to cut corners will get like a 150 coverage on liability. Never do that. Always take at least 500 on your property, on your liability. When you're looking at these splits on these things, always take at least a 500. It's just a few dollars, literally pennies a month, pennies a year in some cases. Liability is the best buy in the insurance world, especially when it comes to auto situations. You could consider dropping your collision on older cars. I have not found that to be as true now as it used to be 20 years ago when I first started talking about this. Collision rates have gone down. And so again, you say, all right, I'm driving around a $6,000 car here. My collision is only $600. Well, that's 10 years that I'm taking the risk on that. Because collision is not if you tear up somebody else's car, fixes theirs. Collision is if you tear up your car, it fixes your car. And unless you've got enough cash to just write a check and buy a car, you can't drop the collision. But if you're sitting there with $50,000 or $60,000 cash, you could drop the collision. But I got to tell you, I'm in a financial position to write a check and replace my car, probably not even hardly notice as I do it, and I still carry collision. Because again, on a nicer car, it's a good value. It really ends up being a good value. So, but you can look at it and say, I'm going to look at maybe dropping the collision. I'm telling you, though, up front, I haven't dropped it on any of our stuff. And it's not because I'm crazy about insurance. I'm not. I just look at what I'm paying versus the risk I'm taking. Is it worth transferring that risk for those dollars? And in that case, I felt really good about it, especially the way I drive. So, all right, homeowners coverage should be guaranteed replacement cost. Circle the word guaranteed there. There's been a big shift in the insurance business with the last couple of hurricanes on this. Most of the majors, most of the name brand homeowners companies have gone away from guaranteed replacement cost. 10, 15 years ago, guaranteed replacement cost was standard with everybody, and hardly any of them carry it now. Guaranteed replacement cost is this. If you take out a $200,000 policy on your $200,000 house, you go along 5 years and the house is now worth $350,000 and you never updated your insurance agent never called you, you never said anything, it covers the whole house. You bought $200,000 worth of coverage, but it covers $350,000. It replaces the house, even if you don't raise the amounts. That's guaranteed replacement cost. And that's the way all homeowners used to be written. And again, hardly anyone writes it that way anymore. Instead, they do what's called extended replacement cost. And what they'll do is they'll take that $200,000 policy and they will extend the coverage only 10% out or 20% out. And so if they extend a $200,000 policy 20% out, that means that house could go up to $240,000 and you never touch your insurance and you're covered. But if that house goes to $350,000 and it burns and you have a $200,000 policy with a 20% kicker on it, then you are going to be short about $110,000 to put that house back together. And you've got a mess on your hands. And the reason they did this was that people weren't coming back in and upping their insurance. Now, a lot of the insurance agents are mad at me because I bring this up and they say, well, Dave, it's our job to come in and increase the coverage. And I said, yeah, but it's my job to protect the consumer. I'm sitting there with a paid-for nice house in a market that is escalating and then sometimes gets a little soft and escalates other times. And I don't want to have to sit down once a year and run a dad blame appraisal on my house just to make sure your insurance that I'm paying you for is covering me. So I want guaranteed replacement cost, not extended replacement cost. My point is to protect you so you know what you've got. If you're going to carry the extended replacement cost, you got to update it once a year. You got to make sure that your coverage is enough to replace your house. So you have to stay very involved and very plugged in. Umbrella policies are a really good idea. An umbrella liability policy picks up where your homeowners or your auto insurance liability leaves off. So if you carry a $500,000, you get in a bad wreck and it's your fault and somebody sues you for more, then the insurance company is going to pay a $500,000. After that, if they sue you for another $1,000,000, it's got to come from you. They're going to bankrupt you, is what they're going to do. But you can get an umbrella that goes over the top of your homeowner's and your car and attaches to those $500,000 limits, picks up from there and goes on. And so you can buy an extra $1 million in liability if you're starting to get some assets. If you're starting to really build up your 401k, you got some equity in your house, you're making some good money, you're starting to build some assets, you need to get an umbrella policy. You can buy an extra $1 million of liability in umbrella for around a couple of $100 a year. So it's a deal. It's a really good deal. I carry a $10 million umbrella because I've got a little bit of a fear of the Dave Ramsey factor. You know, I bump into somebody in the car and they go, oh, it's no big deal. And I hand them my license. They go, Dave Ramsey, You know, and so I want to make sure that we got plenty of insurance people on our team. Health insurance, only 59%. That's 6 out of 10 workers in the U.S. have health insurance now furnished at work. Only 59%. Now, how do you save on your health insurance? Just like anything else, you increase your deductible and or your co-insurance amount. So how many of you pay for your own or a portion of your own health insurance right now? Raise your hand. Now, see, it's about half of the room. That's about with the national statistics. And so it's a war we fight. I pay for mine, right? It's a huge battle with the ever-increasing cost. This stuff goes up like a rocket, doesn't it? Say yes. So we're constantly fighting for ways to keep our costs down on health insurance. Now, one of the ways to do that is to raise your deductible. And so hardly any of us that pay for our own carry a $250 deductible, do we? Most of us carry $1,000 or more in a deductible on that. So you kick that up. Again, if you've got a $10,000 emergency fund, you can afford to do that. Now, a lot of policies are the co-insurance amount are set up on like 80-20. So after the deductible, the insurance company pays 80% and we pay 20%. Now, you can change that co-insurance amount so you take on a little more risk, they take on a little less. In insurance, anytime you take on more risk and they take on less risk, then what happens to your premiums? They go down because they're taking less risk, we're taking more risk. So if we went from an 80-20 where they pay 80% to a 70-30 where they're only paying 70% and we're paying 30%, they would be taking on less risk. So that'll get your premiums down just like lowering your deductible. That's a good idea. Now, one thing you always want to do is you want to increase your stop loss, but never decrease your maximum pay. Now, let me explain what that means. Stop loss is your maximum out-of-pocket. If you have a $10,000 stop loss, you'd pay your deductible plus your 20% of the 80-20 till you got up to 10,000. After 10,000, they'd pay 100%. Okay? So it's a good idea. You can pick up a little more. You could, if you got a $15,000 emergency fund, you could take a $15,000 or even a $20,000 stop loss as long as they pay 100% after that. See, I'm not worried about the $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 event if I've got an emergency fund. What I'm worried about is the $150,000 or $200,000 event, right? You too? Say right. Okay, so if my stop loss, even if I'm going to pay out of pocket up there to $15,000 or $20,000, I can handle that. I'll work my way through that, and after that, they pay 100%. So if you've got a $5,000 stop loss now, you might investigate taking it to a $15,000 if you have a fully funded emergency fund. Again, dropping your premiums, but do not let them reduce the maximum pay. The maximum pay is the maximum they'll pay out total. So you get in chemo land. You get in a triple, quadruple bypass thing, and they got $1 million cap on what they'll pay. Everything after $1 million, you are on your own. If they lower that to $500,000, you're on your own. And so that is not a good buy to drop down your maximum that they pay. Always keep that up there at least $1 million. It doesn't save you much to drop that one down. But your first dollars down here, your deductibles and your maximum your maximum stop loss, your maximum out of pocket thing, those are good buys and can keep your premiums down. The best thing out there, though, is the new HSA. See if an HSA, a health savings account, will make sense for your specific situation. The HSA, the health savings account, is a tax-sheltered savings account for medical expenses with a high deductible insurance policy. Now, let's look at the numbers on this. I pulled these for an actual 30-year-old couple in our area. An actual 30-year-old couple were to buy a major medical health plan, they would be paying about $640 a month. For that, they'd get a $500 deductible with an 80-20 copay. So after they meet their deductible, then the insurance company would pay 80%, the young couple would pay 20% after that. And that's a pretty standard health plan, isn't it? Say yes. $640 is a lot of money a month, isn't it? Say yes. Big time. And so the deal is then that we said, okay, what about the HSA? The HSA is only $316 a month, not $640 a month, but it's got a $5,650 deductible. Whoa, big deductible. So you're not trotting down to the doctor with that deductible unless you're just like really feeling like you're not going to make it. You don't want to wander in there and not really have a clue. I mean, doc, I'm just kind of feeling bad. No, you're really sick before you go like this, okay? And after $5,650, the insurance company pays 100%. Now, that's a pretty cool feature right there. So you're taking the first $5,650 worth of risk. After that, they are taking the rest of the risk. So what's the deal? Well, gosh, I'm saving $300-something a month. That's $3,888 a year difference in those two policies, almost $4,000 that I'm saving. I'm taking $5,000 more risk, so I got to go a little more than a year without many events. So if you've got chronic illness in your family where people are having to go to the doctor for a lot of different things, then you do not want the HSA because you're going to be burning into some big bucks. I mean, you'll burn through the extra $3,000 you're saving pretty quick out of pocket if you're running through $6,000 worth of medical bills a year. But the Ramsey family, we're really a healthy bunch. We hardly ever go to the doc. I mean, it's a big, hairy deal if we go to the doc. So it's been a very good risk for us because we've never met the deductible since we've had our HSA. And the cool thing is this. You get to take the deductible amount and put it, if you want to, up to that $5,650 a year into a savings account and create a tax deduction regardless of your income. I can write this off. This is weird. They just hadn't figured it out yet. They'll take it away from me soon. But you can write off, no matter your income, $5,600 a year, and then I can spend that money in the health savings account on health needs of any kind. So if I go in the doc and I've got to pay the doc, I can pay it out of that account, and I never pay taxes on it if it's spent on health insurance, if it's spent on health needs of some kind. And so it's tax-free health care out of my pocket in a savings account. If I don't use it, it grows without paying taxes on it, tax deferred. And so what we've done is whatever minor doctor bills we had, we just paid for them, and I just use this thing as another way to save and invest money, tax deferred and tax free. It's a tax break then. But I've got another big, hairy emergency fund over here called an HSA that's really built up over the years. You do $5,000 a year for several years, you got a little bit of money thrown in there, don't you? And you got the extra $5,000 because you're paying $4,000 less. And if you just took the money you were spending already, you can almost fund the thing every year with just what you would have spent. If you were going to spend $640 and on the HSA, you keep spending $640. So here's the way to think about this. Again, if your family is fairly healthy, this makes a lot of sense. Because with plan one there, with the PPO, you send the company $640 a month. Thousands and thousands of dollars a year. If you don't go to the doctor and use the insurance, they keep all the money. In plan two, you send them about $3,600 a year. You put the same about another $4,000 into a savings account. If you don't go to the doctor, you keep the $4,000. I like that plan, okay? And this will also give you an incentive to stay healthy and do healthy things. Really, really, really a good idea.